You can bet I'm doing numbers and my stock is going up cause of my hunger. When you see me in my zone, I'm locked in, not clocked in, I'm never boxed in. When I'm in my zone, I feel like I'm alone. I feel like I'm unknown to the world that's full of clones. My originality's focused on principalities. Broken, I'm loaning my heart and soul to the game. They're scared to pay it back. And failure is a motherfucker.
Yo, what's the deal? I am the man who is double cupped up like I am when I got your baby mama titties in my hand, Mr. GQ.
And I am the man, DJ Micah B, straight from Jamaica, out of somebody, baby. Mama, let's go!
Mumble mentality activated. I waited for so long. In burdens, I'm outweighed. When you see me in my zone, you can bet I'm doing numbers. And my stock is going up because of my hunger.
Yo, we back in that thing. Back from vacation.
Yes,
and
sir.
Back from all the fuckery.
Yeah.
Gentlemen's talk. Coming to you live from the Batcave with some breaking news.
Breaking news.
This, ladies and gentlemen, will be a GQ bomb you probably didn't expect, or maybe you did if you read the tea leaves. If you pay attention, you might have figured it out. So, this episode is episode number 57 of Gentleman's Talk. It will be the last episode that we record as a traditional podcast. Because starting next week, Gentleman's Talk will now be a part of the From the Sidelines family. You will catch us live on YouTube and on the Gentleman's Talk Facebook page starting next week. We will be hosting the Gentleman's Talk show that will be a very, pretty much essentially, just like any other talk show you see, bringing on guests, having interviews, having roundtables, talking all things, all controversy, all fuckery, all fun.
All the stuff we normally do.
Pretty much everything we normally do, but we will take the sports part of it out of it for us because joining the From the Sidelines family, they have a basketball show on Mondays, a football show on Fridays, which if you've been keeping up with, DJ Micah B has been a part of the Monday show.
Yes, sir.
And I've been a part of the NFL show on Fridays. And this past Friday, both myself and DJ Micah B was all up in that thing on the football show.
Finally.
So, we are proud to be a part of the From the Sidelines family. It's going to be great. We are still keeping everything that you know as Gentlemen's Talk. The formats, the conversations, the interviews, all the things will be the same. It's just we'll be under a different group overall. But it is for the overall betterment because when me and DJ Micah B started doing this, we had absolutely no idea that we would get to this point. We had no idea that one collaboration would turn into two, turn into three turn into six, and all of a sudden now we're joining a family that welcomes us with open arms.
Good group of guys, man. Very good group of guys. They've been together for quite some time. I was excited to go on the first Monday show when I went on the first time, and fit seamlessly. At least that was my take on it. I think that was a lot of people's take on it. I got invited right back. I couldn't do it the following week, but I did it the week after, fitting seamlessly. And then I never went on the Friday show, and I did it this week. And I was already confident that it was going to fit seamlessly, especially because you have already been on the Friday show. So, beautiful.
So, to celebrate, we're going to take it back to season 1, 2, 3. We're going to do this thing like we do best. We're going to take a shot of the first shot we ever took when we started Gentleman's Talk, that wonderful Captain Morgan's private stock. Ladies and gentlemen, the shots in these glasses are the last of that bottle from when we first started.
Bittersweet.
Cheers to you.
Cheers. You know what? I got something for you. Hold that thought.
Uh-oh. He said, hold that thought. So while that's going on, ladies and gentlemen, I want you guys to take a moment. All of our, everybody that's been a fan of us, has been rocking and rolling with us since day one. Do us a favor. On YouTube, you can find our new home at From the Sidelines Podcast 5. You will see us streaming live on Mondays, on Wednesdays, on Fridays. possibly a couple Saturdays sprinkled into that mix. But know for a fact that Gentleman's Talk will be taking over your hump day. At the same time, From the Sidelines also does have a TikTok. So please and please jump on that and follow that, because that right there is where the controversy gets lit. So you can follow them on FTSL Pod on TikTok as well. And you will see myself, DJ Micah B, and all of the From the Sidelines family making big moves, coming to you live, coming to you soon. And we got some competition, and we coming for them. Just know that we coming for that head, one way or another. It's getting real competitive in this wonderful podcasting streaming world. And there's a couple of sports podcasts out there that are doing similar things to what we're already doing, trying to copy what we got going on. But there's a rebranding coming. And from everything that happens with this rebrand, there is a lot more to follow. Just understand that when it takes off, don't say we didn't warn you from the jump. But just know, we coming for you. We coming for everybody's head. Look like DJ Micah B got a bag in his hand.
It's a bag.
I don't know what he said. Hold that thought. He has something. I don't know what it is, but I got to take a look at it.
We are finally honoring the bet.
Oh, we are finally honoring the motherfucking bottle bet. Oh, we got some of that BSB brown sugar bourbon, courtesy of the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jamie Foxx himself. Appreciate you for honoring that bottle bet. We are 1-1. On our bottle bets.
We are.
I lost the one for the World Series when the Astros won. And DJ Micah B.
No, was it? I don't think it was. I think it was the. It wasn't the World Series. It was just Houston. Houston was down. What was it? 3-1 to Boston. And they came back and won. He was like, "You want to put something on?" I was like, "Yeah, we can put a bottle on it." That's what it was.
I could have swore it was for the World Series, but okay. I mean, but I knew it had something baseball related.
Yeah.
But this BSB though. Can't wait to crack that open.
There you go.
So. Adding that to this beautiful collection of all the bottles that we
and
have here.
I know
here.
Some of y'all are on there like, damn, it took him this long. Look, I've been bringing bottles. I've been bringing bottles every week I come, dog. I just couldn't get my hands on that one. And today when I went to look in the app on Drizzly to see if I could get my hands on it, it was there. And I was like, see, everything is falling into fruition right now. The Captain Morgan is out. You got the bottle of BSB. And, hey, life's good.
Yep, we got that. And, hey. We got some of that champagne and cognacs, that XO, courtesy of my pops.
OG.
Hey, it's going to be on. So this is going to be, like I said, it's going to be a bittersweet episode, but it's going to be a good episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just know that moving forward, you're going to see our beautiful faces on the screen, and that's what it is. So let's get started. You said you had some NBA stuff.
Yeah, last show, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get some NBA stuff going for shit sure. So here we go. I don't know if you saw this article, but it was an interesting article to me because I like it. I like the article. Right now, James Harden and Joel Embiid are on pace to be the first pair of teammates since 81-82 to lead in scoring and assist average in the NBA. So the last pair of teammates to do was George Gervin and Johnny Moore in San Antonio. What is it? 10 games left, 9 games left?
13.
Okay, 13 games left. So here is what it looks like when you're chasing history doing this. Doncic has 33. He's at 33 points a game. He's the second leading scorer. And Embiid is at 34 points per game, which is insane to me. If I had to vote today, Embiid would be my MVP.
Absolutely.
By the way. But here's when stuff gets interesting, because I don't think Doncic is going to catch Joel Embiid, because he's missed 3 straight games now, him and Kyrie. Both have missed games. So it gets interesting because James Harden has 10.8 assists a game. Haliburton is at 10.4. Trae Young is at 10.1. And Jokic is at 10 exactly. If Harden has a string of bad games, it is – if Haliburton – averages 11 assists a game and Harden doesn't average at least 6 or 7, it could flip. So I don't know if Tyrese Haliburton is aware of this, but what do you think is the likelihood of them being the teammates at the end to lead in scoring and assists per game?
It's possible. Like, I definitely don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, granted, yeah, we know there's 13 games left, but they absolutely could do it.
Yep. It kind of gives me that, was it George Gervin and David Thompson? Whenever he put up 72 in the game to win the scoring title at the very last game of the season. So, also, what does that mean going into the playoffs? Are they just – because also James Harden and Joel Embiid are light years above any other duo in assists as teammates. Scoring assists, yeah. They're pick and roll leaders. They're score assist leaders. I mean, it's insane.
Like, all that stuff is cool.
Yep.
What will it translate to in the playoffs?
That's exactly what I want to know.
Neither player has a good playoff resume.
Well, I guess you can kind of make an argument for Harden. He just hasn't been to the finals since he left. Okay, he went to two Western Conference Finals with the Rockets.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. But then, of course, we know Embiid got knocked off by the Kawhi bounce drop.
Beautiful.
But, you know, unfortunately, their Achilles heel is their coach.
Yeah.
Mr. Doc Rivers. Mr. Notorious for watching and letting teams fall apart in the biggest moments of the playoffs.
Only coach to blow 2-3-1 leads.
He'll never let that down. He'll never be able to let that down.
No, and then he still got voted as one of the top 15 coaches of all time when they did the top 15 with the top 75.
I'm not going to argue that. I'll give him that. Top 15, sure. Just not top 10.
Okay. I'm with that.
I mean, I would have to dig into it, but those two blown 3-1 playoff leads drop you out of the top 10. Because successful winning coaches don't do that. Not like that. Like, you can't tell me that a guy like Popovich, a guy like Pat Riley, a guy like...
Who's all on the top 15?
Yeah. But, like, if they're up 3-1, they finna close a goddamn deal.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So, like, I would also say when Doc Rivers, him coaching... There has been in starting back in the 2000s, there's a lot of coaches I would take over him. I would take Phil Coach in the 2000s. I would take Phil. I would take George Karl. I know George Karl never won a title.
I was just about to say, what about a guy like George Karl? I mean,
he never won a title, but that Seattle, we talked about the Seattle team earlier. That Seattle team was ridiculous with George Karl. I might take Van Gundy, not Stan, Jeff.
I think I would. Where it gets tricky is where you start talking about a guy like Doc Rivers versus like a Mike D'Antoni type.
Yeah.
D'Antoni's been he's like a phenomenal regular season coach. And then in the playoffs, it's like you might get out of the first round.
Yep.
But you're not getting out the second.
Yeah.
Like your offense sputters because you don't play defense and everybody else starts to play defense.
Well, he got out the second round with Phoenix a couple of times.
Until they ran into San Antonio and the Lakers.
Yeah, they definitely ran into the Lakers.
Well, they definitely ran into San Antonio too in that when Steve Nash got his ass ran the fuck over.
Ori.
Yeah.
The clothesline.
Yeah.
Ori clothesline.
I wouldn't even call it a clothesline. That was a shoulder block that knocked his ass into the scorer's table and broke his nose.
Yeah.
That shit was a straight football play.
It was.
That is the meme right there when football players play basketball.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's like you remember on The Longest Yard when Michael Irvin and Adam Sandler played basketball? Oh, did I foul you? Nah, no harm, no blood, no foul.
Yeah.
Like that right there is exactly how you encapsulate what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Oh man, so what else you got?
All right, so I'm pretty sure you've seen this story. Sean Kemp got arrested.
No.
Okay, so
I admit, the fuck?
Okay, so Sean Kemp got arrested. For those people that don't know, I think he was at a mall, right?
First of all, Sean Kemp is like in his 50s.
Yeah.
The fuck was he doing?
Well, we're going to get there because he owns, you know, a whole bunch of Starbucks and stuff, so that's why he was at the mall. He was checking out one of his franchises. So he's at the mall, and he got arrested, and the report was a drive-by shooting. And later on, we find out there was no drive-by shooting. So what happened was he was at the mall. Some guys recognized him in a car. They were going off and talking, and they shot first, and he shot back in self-defense. You know what I'm saying? They didn't know until they watched the video. He was released like a couple of hours later after he got arrested. when they went and pulled a surveillance video. But people called the cops, and he stayed when they called the cops. Like, he was still there.
Well, because it would have been worse if he'd have ran.
Right. So they, yeah, so he stayed. But the people that saw and reported thought it was a drive-by because the guys were in the car, and they started shooting and then moving. He started shooting after he got his gun out. So it looked like a drive-by shooting. So the report was he was involved by a drive-by shooting. I want to stress to people, this is why you should shut your mouth until you get the facts. Because I saw people all on social media like, man, what is Sean Kemp thinking? And this and that. Shut your mouth until you know the facts. But that's not the reason why I brought that up.
What city was this in?
I think Seattle.
Damn, I didn't know Seattle had not so strict gun laws like that.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of your states on the west side are very, very tight on their guns. So that's why I was like, Seattle, really? Like,
I need to cross check that because
I'm like, man, I felt like Seattle was very much on the conservative side of things.
I for sure didn't. I know he still lives in Seattle. That's why I assume Seattle. But
I mean, he's a made man. In Seattle, so it makes sense.
And there's still loyal Seattle Supersonic fans in Seattle.
Because they deserve it.
Yes. Where was this? I don't see any place where it says it was. Tacoma Mall. So, Washington. So, he was in Washington.
Oh, okay. Washington is, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, which is still right there. So, yeah. But I bring that up to ask you this question just because his name has been hot, and it's not about the drive-by shooting. I never realized, and we talk about this a lot off air, I never realized that Sean Kemp was not a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
I didn't realize that. So my question to you is, should Sean Kemp be a Hall of Famer? Or do you think he's the Hall of Very Good like Iguodala?
I'd like to hear the argument as to why he's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, I was in a Facebook group, and somebody said, well, he's not a seven-time All-Star. Most people that get into the seven-time All-Star. And I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because that's not – Ginobili's a two-time All-Star. So Sean Kemp was a six-time All-Star and a three-time All-NBA player.
Okay.
Which was fascinating to me to know that he only made the All-NBA three times. But
I figured he would have been more than that. Yeah. More times than that, but clearly I missed something there.
Yeah, he made the second team three times, which is interesting because I couldn't find anybody that made All-NBA second team that many times without making first or third team. So he was an All-NBA player three times and was all second team, which was crazy. But I would like to hear the argument from anybody why he's not, especially with how loose the NBA is on letting in people, because there's people in the Hall of Fame now that wasn't as good as Sean Kemp. You know, so
I know we're talking about NBA, which is ironic, but so Desmond Bane was ejected for – he got a flagrant two for striking Kevin Love. That's only thing I saw in the title. So then I go watch the video, and it literally looks like some shit you would have seen in WWE. He's driving with his right hand with the ball, and his left hand, he's like trying to quote unquote push off of Kevin Love, but he essentially low blows, like his hand is touching butt cheeks type of hand under. And I'm like, and you can see it because he like does like this, and I'm like, bro, these fucking Grizzlies, dog. Like, they are fucking killing me.
I told you. I know.
We talked about it pre-show. But, like, bro, what the fuck? Like, these Grizzlies are, like, they are everything that you want out of a Bad Boys Pistons type of team without the actual success.
Facts.
Yeah, I said it.
Because facts.
You got, all right, fuck it. We're going to get into it. I'm in my wormhole now.
Get it.
So we got this. You got your dumbass leader right off rip in fucking John Morant, fucking young kid. He's younger than both of us. He's like 23 years old.
Yeah,
multimillionaire. Got a kid. Powerade, all this shit. Nike, I believe, is his what is sponsored by. Yeah, all this. Replace Kyrie. Yeah, Nike.
Yep.
Decides to go to Denver, Colorado, because they're playing the Nuggets or whatever. and bring a gun to a goddamn nightclub. Okay. So.
And then flash it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me bring you up to speed on some things when it comes to the NBA. Because we've seen this before. We've seen this with Gilbert Arenas in Washington when he had a gun inside of his locker inside the facility.
Don't forget about Javaris Crittenton.
Oh, no, no. I'm just because of what happened with Mr. Arenas, Agent Zero, as we like to say, because I'm going to always pay respect to the man that was shooting no-look shots before Steph Curry was.
Don't I say what I said.
Anywho, because of what Gilbert Arenas did at the time, the NBA made a rule, and it said no weapons of no guns of any kind in any type of NBA facilities, team planes, team buses, team hotels, none of that shit. Don't bring no fucking guns with you. How the fuck did Ja Morant get a gun from Memphis, Tennessee to Denver, Colorado, inside of a Denver, Colorado nightclub, and only get suspended for 8 games, when Gilbert Arenas lost his whole goddamn career? Granted, say what you want, I think had he not been essentially indefinitely suspended, I feel like Gilbert Arenas probably had another, would it safe to say 4 years?
Hell yeah, Gilbert Arenas is a freaking monster.
Because he was right at the apex of his prime when all that shit went down. Now, Washington was not. Washington was a trash team. God, they were trash at that time.
Gilbert put up 60 in a game in Dolce & Gabbana's, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to say, but Washington was trash at the time. But Gilbert Arenas was not.
Yeah, because by the time that happened, Caron Butler and Antoine Jameson were both gone.
Yep.
Yeah. I think Antoine went to Miami. Caron went to Dallas, and he won a championship in Dallas. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, all that happens, and I'm like, all right, so John Morant, you're doing all this. Now, we're going to go into Dylan Brooks on this very suspect type shit you're talking about with Kyrie and getting into it with Draymond. Ladies and gentlemen.
Sus.
Dylan Brooks went to Oregon. Right? We all know this. Well, most of us do. There was a quote he was quoted. I'm going back in. Like I said, I'm in my bag right now. He made a quote and he said, who do you want to be like in the NBA? And he said, I want to be like the Draymond Green of a team. This is what Dylan Brooks said before he was drafted. But yet the one person you continue to get into it with is Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
That makes sense.
Like,
I can, you know what? I can see why it makes sense to me, because him and Draymond will always clash, because he wants to have an attitude like Draymond.
Yeah, but he ain't got he doesn't have the success, the accolades, the first team all defenses, the defensive player, none of that shit. He ain't even in the conversation for defensive player of the year, first of all.
Exactly.
He does not affect the game like early Draymond did.
Before anybody says anything about Draymond, go back and check that 2015-16 Game 7 that they lost to Cleveland. Draymond had a 37-point triple-double. I don't want to hear it.
And I'm going to take it a step further, and people aren't going to want to hear this, but it's okay. What Draymond was doing early in his career is what you are seeing currently from Nikola Jokic, a big man who is a phenomenal passer, who is the focal point of your offense. Yes, I know they have Steph and Klay and all those guys, but go watch early Golden State basketball. They ran a lot of Draymond at the high post, pass, screen, roll around, dish to a cutter, and score. That was Draymond's game. And Draymond had a damn good shot from the elbow at this time.
He had a good shot at three at one time, too.
He did at one time. Not no more. Mm-hmm. At one time. And then you got the rest of this team. Desmond Bain, all these other guys. And I'm like, bro, y'all are trying to be tough guys and gangsters and thugs and all this shit. That ain't not none of y'all, bro.
Bruh. Dylan Brooks went to Oregon.
Oregon, you were a duck. My man, you had about 40 uniforms in your fucking closet, dog. Like, stop it. Stop it.
I'm
the hardest,
fed up.
The hardest person on your team is Steven Adams.
Oh, well,
I fucks with Steven Adams. Yeah, I like Steven Adams.
Steven Adams from the trenches, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Steven Adams could have played in the 90s.
Hey, that's the strongest guy in the NBA, dog.
He could have played in the 90s and the 80s. In the early 2000s, and he'd have been a force.
I don't buy the Warriors being – I'm not the Warriors,
the Grizzlies?
The Grizzlies being this tough guy team. I don't think none of
them
are. No,
they're trying to.
Yeah. I don't – no, I'm just saying, like, you see him all the time. You see him on the court. Bruh, let me tell y'all something. The Bad Boy Pistons was really about their life. Bill Lambert.
They had guys that would come off the bench just to fuck you up and get technically thrown out of a game.
Bill Lambert would square up with any damn body and not give a damn, bro. And he might have been the softest one on that team. And that's not a diss to Bill Lambert. You know what I'm saying? He probably wasn't from the hood and stuff like that. There's no diss to him. But he was about that life, just being on that team. He took in the culture. Bruh, that's not Memphis. You know what? You know what's crazy? They're not even grit and grind Memphis with Z-Bo and Gasol. They're not. So, and I love grit and grind Memphis. I love their play style. This is probably what they should adopt instead of trying to adopt this bad boy Pistons thing. They should embrace the grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies, who played hard-nosed defense and just defended and scored. You just play hard defense. You don't got to play hard defense. You don't got to clothesline. You don't got to knock them down. You ain't got to try and start fights. Stay in front of your man and grind that shit out. That's what grit and grind was about.
Or maybe adopt the We Believe Golden State Warriors.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You have the offensive firepower to somewhat match it, because you didn't have prime Curry at the time. You didn't have prime Clay. Like, you had a assortment of young guys with a couple of veterans sprinkled in.
Yeah. That We Believe team was, yeah.
Yeah, that was, man.
Steven Jackson. Baron Davis was still a star back then.
Bro.
Oh, man. Injuries robbed Baron Davis. Bro,
Baron Davis was a cockswole-ass guard that had no problem driving on any motherfucker.
Baron Davis was a Hall of Fame talent, dog, and the injuries just derailed him. Oh.
100%.
Yeah.
So we would get into a wide variety, assortment, craziness, bullshit, craziness about the NFL, but there's so much shit going on that we just going to wait till Friday.
Catch us
on From the Sidelines Friday for the NFL show. At the bare minimum, catch your boy Mr. GQ live and in color doing the damn thing on net. Like I said, follow the new fam at From the Sideline Podcast 5. That is the YouTube handle. We will be there. We will be live. But there is something that I will get into.
There's something I want to get to in the NFL, too.
Yeah. So
we're not going to get into it too deep, but I want to get to it.
But Patriots made another really good signing just a second ago.
They had Juju Smith-Schuster already. What they get now?
James Robinson.
What?
I'm with it.
You should be with it.
I'm with it. I mean, he was already in a crowded backfield in New York anyway, so guess what? We're going to take him from CJ's punk-ass Jets.
Beautiful. CJ's punk-ass Jets.
And to piggyback on CJ's punk-ass Jets, who are going to get this punk-ass quarterback.
That's exactly where I wanted to go with this.
Yeah, we're in the same boat. Yeah. So let's go ahead and I'm going to let you get started. I'm going to follow up because this shit here is... Go ahead.
All right, y'all. So I don't know if y'all have been paying attention to NFL free agency today or whatever, but...
Hell, this whole week.
This whole week. But instead of telling the Packers what he wants to do and things like that, this guy Aaron Rodgers, the biggest diva of them all, went to Pat McAfee's show and said his intentions are to sign with the New York Jets. CJ's punk ass New York Jets. I have no problem with you going to go sign with the New York Jets. Zero issue. All right? My issue is you've been holding this franchise hostage the whole time, all throughout the offseason. And I know you damn well know what the hell you wanted to do the whole time. They've been sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting. And my issue with Aaron Rodgers is, get the hell out your feelings, bro. And you're still doing this because they went and drafted Jordan Love. Like, you weren't on your way out already. You at the end, you were in the middle to the end of your 30s, dog. They got to start thinking of the future. That's not saying they're not going to ride with you until you're gone. They did. They are better than me, because your ass would have been gone the year I drafted Jordan Love with the way you acted. And then you go and hold the Packers organization hostage the way you did. The same way you complained about what Brett Favre did to you is the same thing you did to Jordan Love. You're an asshole. You're a jackass. I used to be a fan. I am a fan of Aaron Rodgers, the player, not Aaron Rodgers, the human being. You're an asshole as a human being, and you suck. Just plain and simple. You suck. And I wish nothing but failure on you from now on with the Jets. Plain and simple. Sorry, CJ. I don't like your punk-ass Jets anyway. I wish nothing but failure on you with the Jets. No Super Bowls, no playoff appearances, just 4 wins a season, whatever the hell it is. Because you are trash as a person, bro. Because you did the team wrong and did right by you your whole career. I'm done.
Woo!
And you know I don't go on tirades like this.
To be like Ric Flair. Woo! So, like I said, I was going to piggyback off what you said. So let's start with the facts. Everybody and their mom trashed Brett Favre for what he did when he left Green Bay, retired, unretired, retired, unretired, ended up with the Jets, ended up with the Vikings, almost made it to a Super Bowl, but then was a victim of Bounty Gate. And we all were like, why the fuck did he do this? Why is he holding a team hostage? Why is this? Insert Aaron Rodgers, the golden boy, the, you know, do all the things. Wins the Super Bowl. All right, Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. That's good. Good stuff. We're going to, you know, all right. There was no encore.
Never.
You won one Super Bowl. And then people go out to defend him. Oh, he didn't have weapons. He didn't have this. Bro, this man had Randall Cobb in his prime. This man had Jordy Nelson in his prime. This man had Eddie Lacy in his prime. This man had weapons. He did. He truly did. He actually also had a very good defense.
For I was about to say, I can't think of his name right now. Corner Defensive Player of the Year in 2011. Woodson?
Yeah, Woodson.
Woodson. In his prime.
He had all these players. James Jones, another reliable receiver.
Tight end. I can't think of the tight end right now. He was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, shit.
He won Dancing with the Stars at that. I just can't think of his name. In his prime, though.
Yeah. Hell, they also had Julius Peppers at one point.
In his prime.
Like, I mean, so anyway, and now towards the end, you know, now Rodgers, instead of retiring, I'm retiring, he just decides, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do in free agent, in, you know, the end of the year. I don't know if I'm going to come back. I don't know. Oh, you guys drafted Jordan Love, and I won back-to-back MVPs, and bro, you are 38 years old. You're old as fuck. You're trying too hard. There is only one. Listen to me. There's only one, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., who was able to play past 40. There's only one other quarterback in NFL history to play quarterback longer than Tom Brady. And it was a quarterback for the Raiders that played till he was 49. Most quarterbacks don't make it past the age of 39. Favre shouldn't have played as long as he did. That's why he was fucked up at the end.
After the Vikings, he should have stopped.
He should have. Look at Big Ben. He played 2 years too long.
Definitely.
Phillip Rivers played a year and a half too long. Boom. Matt Ryan, 2 years too long.
Yup.
Andrew Luck got out early. Thank goodness. He probably would be fucked off right now if he kept playing.
Andrew Luck would have been fucked off at the age of 33.
You know, Carson Wentz, retire, bro. It's a wrap. It's okay. It's okay. Donovan McNabb probably played 2 years too long.
Not even a probably, he did.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice. Cam Newton, you probably played a year too long just because of the injuries. It ain't because of the skill set. It's strictly because of the injuries.
I'll give him the
injuries got him. Carson Palmer, you played about 3 years too long. You know, just kind of going down this, you know, wormhole. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, back to Rodgers.
I loved Carson Palmer, man. That was my dog.
You decided, oh, okay. So here's the backstory. I'm sure you've been watching this stuff on TV just like I have. So apparently at the end of the football season, the Packers informed Aaron Rodgers, hey, man, we're probably going to move on from you. We're going to move forward, you know, with Jordan Love. We're going to move into the future. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go into this darkness retreat for four days. Which he didn't even stay in there for 4 days. He only was in there for, like, 2 days. And he was like, quote, unquote, as he said on the Pat McAfee show today, he was 90% retired, 10% he was going to play with the Jets. Apparently the biggest turning point was Nathaniel Hackett signing with the Jets as I'll be on the coaching staff.
He does praise Nathaniel Hackett.
Because apparently they have a long history and whatever. I asked somebody, a very close person of mine, asked me today about the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. He's like, I think they'll be a little, they'll be like, you know, they'll be a little over 500, but I don't expect much. I said, and I quote this, I'm not going to tell you who I was texting, but in this text message, I said, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets will win 9 games. And I'm being nice. They could win 11.
And 8?
They could. They could win 11. It's very possible because Aaron Rodgers is good for some random magical moments. But he's also good for some travesties.
Well, I also believe that that division is still stacked.
That division is very much stacked. Both NFC, AFC East divisions are stupid.
The Patriots are getting better. And I don't care what nobody says. I still believe in Mac Jones.
Miami is there.
Buffalo is there.
Like, this division is interesting. How many division games are they going to win? Let's just start with that.
Just with the Jets, the Jets alone, I think are going to finish last in the division. I don't see a situation where they don't. Their defense carried them a lot last year and things like that, but, bruh, I'm off the Aaron Rodgers thing. He's going to try to do too much with his arm. Notice last year, the Packers had success when they handed the ball off. When they got to the playoffs now, they wanted Aaron Rodgers to throw him in the game, and it failed them. And he's going to do it again. He's just going to do it again because that's what he does. He's not a take the drop back and hand it off. Aaron Rodgers doesn't believe in his decline. But, you know, the NFL gave him 2 MVPs, so I digress. But, come on, man.
Oh, I know. I'm with you. But, you know, that – as far as the NFL talk, that's as far as we was going to get because it just needed to be said.
I do want one interesting take on what – just because, you know, I'm a Texans fan. I want to hear your take. Case Keenum. The Texans signed Case Keenum to be their quarterback.
I actually hate it.
I double down on that.
I hate it because, first of all, where the fuck Case Keenum been for the last 5 years?
Journeyman.
He ain't been nobody's viable starter in.
No, the last time you really heard about Case Keenum was whenever he was with the Vikings and they lost in the championship game after he threw the miracle and
after the Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. Game. So
again, and Stephon Diggs is not even with that team anymore.
Yeah.
So I hated it. I loved everything else that the Texans have done thus far. Bringing in Robert Woods, bringing in defensive veterans. I like what D'Amico Ryans is doing from that perspective. I did not like the Case Keenum thing.
I think the Texans don't have a quarterback in this draft that they like. That's what I really think is going on. They just needed a filler because you've heard me say it over and over again. I prefer Caleb Williams. Yeah, I really do.
I don't think the Texans are going to be that level of ass for 2 years in a row to be able to draft high enough. I don't think they're going to get the number one pick next year.
I don't either.
I really don't. Like, if anybody's going to get the number one pick next year, hell, it might be fucking Tampa. Tampa might be the worst team next year. Even with Baker Mayfield at quarterback.
I tell you what, it'd be beautiful if it was the Jets. Because then the Jets would go out and draft another young quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers would be pissed off again.
But I like two quarterbacks out of this draft so far. Well, really three. I like three. I like Bryce Young. Only if he goes to the right situation. C.J. Stroud would be a great quarterback to an established team, not to a young team that needs that guy. But I also like Stetson Bennett. I don't care what nobody say. I like Stetson Bennett.
Oh, man, Stet.
Because Stetson Bennett, and I was talking about this earlier today with somebody. I said, listen, don't be surprised if a team like San Francisco drafts Stetson Bennett.
If I'm a good team, I'd be all in on Stetson Bennett at the beginning of the second round or the back of the first round.
100%, because I definitely feel like Stetson Bennett's going to be a second or third round quarterback. And if you're these are the teams I lined out for Stetson Bennett just because I enjoyed watching him in college. Like, I really did.
Back-to-back champion, what you mean?
But I said San Francisco. I said Detroit. I actually said Carolina as well, but I didn't want Carolina to reach for him at one because that would be stupid. I actually like him in New England too.
I don't like him in Carolina no more because DJ Moore is gone.
I mean, but I'm just thinking, I like the fit of him in New England. I think he'd be good.
I think he'd be good on the Belichick.
He may be that one guy that could, and I like Mac Jones, and we've talked about this. Like, yeah, we like Mac Jones, but I might like Stetson Bennett more.
I like
Stetson Bennett looks more like a Patriots quarterback, if I'm being 100% with you.
He does.
And the last team I had was Tennessee.
Oh, that would be a good one.
I like those are the teams that I came up with that I was like, all right. But I also like Atlanta. That's my honorable mention was Atlanta, because Atlanta, yes, they have your man Taylor Heineke, a.k.a. my man with the most fire Jordan collection.
Ever.
For white guy. In the NFL. But, I mean, Stetson Bennett would be a good quarterback to go there and at least compete for a job. But I think down the line, with the weapons that that team has, a guy like Stetson Bennett could be exactly what you need. He's mobile enough. He's got a solid arm.
Good, I like running the Patriots back, so. Fit.
I know I do too. But
I like the Patriots fit.
I don't know if he'll be available whenever the fuck they're going to draft. But we do have to sign and or draft another quarterback because fucking Bailey Zappe is gone. Zappe's with the fucking Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time for fucking our backup to retire. Play for the Texans too. Hoyer.
Hoyer, yeah.
Time for Hoyer to go. So we do got to do something.
I like Stetson Bennett going to the Patriots.
So I could see that. I could definitely see Stetson Bennett. I could also see TCU's quarterback going to New England too, but I would prefer Stetson Bennett. That's just me. Because he'd be a proven winning quarterback in the SEC.
Two championships.
That is not an Alabama quarterback.
Back to back. Back to back. Hey. So I like the fit with the Patriots. One guy I really have my eye on with the draft, I kind of want to see where he goes, because I think if he goes to the right place, he would be good, which is Anthony Richardson. I think if he goes to the right place, he would be good, but he'd be a bad fit in a lot of places because he's so reliable on his legs. You'd have to have a coach just really reliant on letting this man use his legs. So he wouldn't be a good fit with the Texans. Because he does a lot of running. But, man, I think Anthony Richardson.
You know where I think where his best fit would probably be? And people probably haven't thought about this. The Rams.
Yeah.
Let Sean McVay teach him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Learn from one of the best.
Yeah, and Matthew Stafford is getting older. So they're going to have to do something. And he's injury prone at this point in his career. So.
He's very raw, but if you're going to learn from somebody, learn from one of the best.
Yep.
I wouldn't be opposed to him with Denver either if he falls that low.
Because
I know Denver doesn't have a first round, but there's still a chance that Anthony Richards falls out of the first round.
Yeah, there's still a chance he will.
And you let Sean Payton get his hands on a raw talent like that too. I could see that being something.
I could see that being something too. I like Anthony Richardson. I think
I like him. I mean, yeah, cool. He was the winner of the combine, but I've also seen the tape. He's only started 13 games, but I've seen the tape, and I'm like, you got to be careful.
It's not so much his football ability. It's what you hear about everybody in the locker room talking about him. Like, man, he's great. He's a good teammate. He's a great leader. He could fit in the coach. I hear that. I read that all the time.
I mean, they said the same thing about Jalen Hurts, and it took Jalen Hurts 2 years.
Well, which is fine if he goes to Denver, for sure.
Yeah, but he cannot go to a team and be the day one starter.
Exactly.
Because he'll look as bad as Malik Willis did.
That's what I was just about to say. That's
and
the comp.
And I think he's better than Malik Willis.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't
want... But I'm saying his first 2 years if he started.
But I don't want that for him, though.
Yeah.
I really don't. But I would prefer him to go to an offensive-minded coach to learn.
Yeah, Sean McVay is the perfect situation for him.
That's what I'm thinking.
And Sean Payton would be a good one, too, since he already has Russell there for the next 2 or 3 years. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not too much NFL, just some NFL draft stuff. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we pay attention to college, bro. We do.
Oh, we read the tea leaves up in this thing.
Yeah.
So, let's get to the shout-outs. I would tell you we're going to do local brews, but, I mean, I'm still sipping on my XO, so.
Can't say the same, but. Regardless, I tell you what, I'll go first on shout outs because that's the way it started from day one.
Hey.
So let's do it. And in true LSG fashion, can you pass something out that fridge while I get these shout outs started?
I will, because I actually knew you was going to say that.
Yeah.
And I have something special for you.
There you go. See? They're right. The chemistry is crazy. I'm going to tell y'all this. I know we're joining from the sidelines and things like that, but. What did you just give me here? Oh! Yo!
But I'm not going to let you do it by yourself.
Say! Oh, my bad, y'all. I had a fanboy moment. Okay, so We're going to tell y'all after. All right, so I know we're joining from the sidelines and some things are going to change, but I absolutely want 100% of my shout-out, fuck 100%, probably 200% of my shout-out to go to Jew Fresh. Because, bruh, this show would not have been the same without you. You are first interview. You do the intro. You listen. You always listen. Man, bro, I really do appreciate everything you did, especially with the song. I love the song. I think me and GQ both agree that this show could not be done without that song getting us in our zone. Pun intended. I know y'all don't hear us because, you know what I'm saying, we have the monocaster, and if we say anything, it'll lower the volume. But we be back here rapping the lyrics, and we got our eyes closed, and we be jamming and getting into the zone, man. And this show couldn't be the same without you, bro. So I really do appreciate you, bro. So my shout-out will always and forever go to you for that one.
I fucks with that as always. Of course, my shout-out will forever go, because we are forever indebted to you, my dog. Jew Fresh, big bro, we love you. We appreciate you, like I said, letting us use the song. As you can see, it's on the iPad, ready to go, because that's how we get down. But I also want to give a special shout out to every single listener we have had since the beginning. All of you. I really wish I could name all of y'all, because it's a lot of y'all. But I do want to highlight some important ones, though. Obviously, we highlighted Jew Fresh already. I want to highlight Big Ivo. I want to highlight the man, John L., for sure.
Yes, sir.
My quarterback, Chris Herrera. I got to highlight you. I got to highlight my wife. She listens every now and again. She catches a couple tea leaves. So,
Kalissa, my dog.
Lil Mama, always got to highlight you. Cause one way or another, you are always a part of this show. But yep. Check us out on From the Sidelines.
Hey, hold on. Before you go, I know it's you. We got one more person to thank, too, because he does listen. CJ and his punk-ass Jets, bruh. We got to highlight you because you have been the punching bag of the show, my nigga. I appreciate you, dog.
I knew he was going to say that, so I was waiting for him to do that. But shout out to all of our LXG brothers, because in one way, shape, form, or fashion, you have all contributed to this show. Joseph coming through with the WWE reaction show. Dak always coming through with the feedback every here and there. Ace with just the comic relief that we always tend to get. Jew Fresh, obviously, with the music game. Big Ivo being live in studio with us a couple times. And, of course, Big Homie giving us all the knowledge on everything men's fragrances.
Yes, sir.
We know you out there doing your damn thing out there in Florida, bro, but we still miss you. We love you. And, of course, it wouldn't be the same without doing what we do best. Let them know what it is one time.
Hold up. God damn it. We missed one person. It just popped in my head. So I definitely want to give one more shout out today. And it's going to my guy DJ Primetime, because he's been in on the WWE roundtables, bruh. We really do appreciate and love you for that, because you really are into the WWE. And for you to come on the show with us and just sit here with us and talk WWE, even though I'm not divested as much as y'all are, bruh, hey, man, we appreciate you for that, for sure. Now, on to the reason why I got excited for the people that wanted to know. This man just gave me Steve Austin Broken Skull IPA. And if you don't know what this is, a Stone Cold Steve Austin's IPA.
You know what's beautiful about this? Because I know you're going to ask me my favorite question.
What's that? Where did you buy this?
I got this at H-E-B.
Here, everything's better.
H-E-B, man, we're giving y'all a chance to give us that sponsorship before we get real, real big, man.
Hey, we should have, you know what? I'm mad. We should still probably try and do this and try and trend, give Gentleman's Talk a sponsor.
Oh, we will. With H-E-B. We're gonna tag them on the YouTube and everything else. We're gonna tag them, especially on the gram.
For sure.
So, this is my first time trying this too,
to you, my brother. This show wouldn't be the same without you, dog. Man,
this show wouldn't. There would be no Gentleman's Talk without you.
Yes, sir.
That's a true IPA.
That is definitely a true IPA.
6.7 ABV.
I like it.
Out of the El Segundo Brewing Company.
Hey, you know what's fun? You know what? This one on the notes or whatever we had to talk about. But have you ever seen the video where Stone Cold tries cocktails on YouTube?
Yes. Oh,
that shit was
funny.
Hey, I went back and watched it like a couple of days ago because it came up with my recommendations, and I was just crying laughing because, for those of you that don't know, Stone Cold hates cocktails.
100%.
He hates it. He only likes beer.
Yeah, he likes some of his liquors, but they got to be pretty much straight on the rocks. Like, he don't do any of that mixed shit. Well, he'll do a margarita on occasion, but
yeah.
But
every Texan does. It's a Texas thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a Texas thing.
Yeah. So,
but
you got to have margarita and tacos at some point in your life.
Taco Tuesday.
Yep.
Even though today's hump day, but it is what it is.
Hump day.
Hey. So, I know we do the shows on Wednesday, so I would like to salute all of my fellas who were able to celebrate March 14th yesterday. For those who are sleeping under a rock, like my man Patrick Starr did, March 14th is Steak and BJ Day.
You know what's crazy? Y'all was celebrating Steak and BJ Day, and it's so weird to say this. My grandma's birthday is on March 14th, dog. Mm. And, like... my grandma died a couple of years ago, but today would have been her 100th birthday, and I had a real sentimental thing going on the beach on the 14th. I went, before I left Jamaica, I went to the bar and got 2 shots, and I poured one in the ocean for her, and I drank the other one, and I stood there for about 30 minutes just reflecting, and then as I'm reflecting, I get on my phone, I see it's National Steak and Blowjob Day, and I was like, what a fucking buzzkill. Well, this is over with. And it's one of the highlights of my vacation because it was fucking hilarious to me.
Yeah, but I've been fortunate. I have a phenomenal partner. My wife, she made a great steak for me yesterday.
You got a steak. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You got a motherfucking steak yesterday. That shit looked phenomenal. Now, what you and your wife did in the bedroom ain't none of my business. Listen, but
it ain't nobody's business. Like Genuine said, it ain't none of your friend's business.
Facts.
But no, I had a phenomenal steak yesterday.
That steak did look good, though. It looked amazing.
Had some asparagus, had a baked potato with the cheese in the bottom. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, though. It ain't the best one she's got me, though. The best one was still the very first one, because she got me that damn tomahawk.
Oh, yeah, bruh.
Hey, that tomahawk.
I don't care how expensive a tomahawk steak is. That shit's fire.
Hey, it's worth it on that day. And that shit was so good.
My uncle, okay, so when I left here for my birthday podcast,
yeah.
my uncle bought tomahawk steaks for my birthday and made it. Mm-hmm. Bruh, tomahawk steak is the best steak ever.
Bro, tomahawk steaks are, man. She's made me three. I've had three tomahawks, and man, a medium rare tomahawk steak is just fucking amazing.
I had mine's medium.
Like, you want to talk about melting in your mouth. Like, that's exactly what it was. All right, so we back in that thing doing what we do best. So you had an epiphany of some kind, so...
I did. Okay, so...
Let's talk about it.
I went, you know, I took a break, for those of you, y'all know. So here's what we're going to do. This is something I always wanted to do, and you're going to see a little bit of the versatility here. As you guys know... Me and Mr. GQ, he's over here like, what the hell this nigga got going on? Because he doesn't know. As you know, we are party starters, bruh. Like, party starters.
I don't even know if that's the right word. But but I got what you're saying, though.
Yeah. He bartends, I DJ. We literally get there. That's what I mean by party starters. We get there and we set the mood. Right? So, I'm going to do something that has never been done. We're going to have a special edition of the crossover. And let me tell you why I call it the crossover on this one. We're going to change places, okay? And this is what I mean by we're going to change places. You are going to give these people the top 5 songs you would play to start a party. And I am going to give them the top 5 cocktails I would give on shots to start a party. Interesting. There you go.
Top five songs to start a party.
Yes, sir.
Interesting. So just to get the party rocking.
Yeah, just to get the party rocking. Any five songs.
Well, because I am who I am, one of the first songs I will play, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, Get Low.
Boom.
That's an easy one in my book. Just throwing that out there. And because I like to be versatile and appease all the crowds, gotta play one of the number one songs played at all genre, all races, types of parties.
I think I know where you're going.
Give me that Usher and Lil Jon and Ludacris. Give me that Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody, that song just hits, okay? It just does.
It does. It from the production of the beat to, yeah, it is.
So here's where I start throwing shit for a loop.
Okay.
Now, you and I will appreciate this, but some people will, some people don't. But number three, give me that Copperhead Road.
Oh, man. Hey, bro, if you don't know about Copperhead Road, you need to go to your local country bar, dog.
So I had to do it because I just had to.
Copperhead Road hard.
Number four, simply because once you start this line dance thing, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
So go ahead and throw that wobble in that thing. There you go. For the one time. And number five, last but not least, if you want to absolutely turn a motherfucking party upside down on its head, you got to play Back That Ass Up from Juvenile.
There it is. There it is.
That's fresh off the dome because I didn't have no time to write that shit down.
Yeah, I didn't want you to have to. I didn't want you to have time to write it because I really wanted to hear. Just, you know, sometimes you go to a party and you don't know what to expect because somebody books you and you're like, all right, and you go and you just know what kind of crowd you're gonna get. So it's off the chain. All right, here we go. My top five cocktails. I'm gonna need you to break one down for the people because one of them is not actually an official cocktail, right? So, my top five cocktails, GQ actually put me on this one. I saw the government name out here, but...
Don't do me like that.
Yeah. Crown Apple and Seven. Crown Apple and Seven. I don't like Crown Apple, but I love Crown Apple and Seven, bro. And if you've never had a Crown Apple and Seven made by the man over here, you might want to message us and get one made. You're going to fall in love with it. It's good. As much as I hate this next one at number four, people love a Jaeger bomb. I think it tastes like medicine.
That's why I had to upgrade.
Yeah.
I went to Vegas bombs.
Speaking of Vegas bombs, number three is where I was going to Vegas bombs. So, number two, whatever the hell you made me at Ace's party, bruh, that night. Whenever y'all had to drive me home.
God, dog. You making me tap into some old shit.
I don't know what the hell you gave me that night, but yo, him and Joseph had to carry me home.
Yeah, I wish I could divulge what the fuck that was, but that was a concoction of the night. Because here's... And, you know, you laugh, but like, so I have done enough events bartending where... Some parties you get everything. You get all the liquor, all the mixers, all the juices. You get everything. You get the perfect setup.
Right.
Some situations you get the bare bones. Where you gotta basically be a mad scientist and come up with some shit. Essentially what happened. I said the word mad scientist and it clicked to me. So the drink that you had.
Is that what you're gonna call it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it reminded me of the night. That drink that you had that night consisted of Goldschlager, pineapple juice, a splash of cranberry, and a blend of vodka, rum, and gin that had peach schnapps and, oh, fuck, there's one more part of this I'm missing. A splash of Seven on top of what I believe the last part of that was.
Okay, that should have been called Bound to Fuck You Up, bro.
Basically what it was. That was the whole point of that particular party because we was all going through some things.
Well, but this is the first time that we had collaborated as DJ and bartender.
True. And I forgot what the fuck the party was. I don't know if that was Ace's birthday party, his mama party. I don't know who party it was.
It was Ace's party. His parents was out of town.
You right.
Yep, his parents was out of town.
No, this was not us doing some high school parents out of town for the weekend type of party. We were all in college
at this
time.
They knew we were going to do the... Yeah,
we were all in college at this time.
And shout out to the monkey. I forgot the monkey's name. The monkey was there,
oh,
too.
Oh, man, bro. The monkey was lit. Yeah. That was, no, we did not get the monkey drunk. Don't misunderstand what we're saying. But the monkey was just live than a motherfucker.
Yeah, he was a boo. A boo.
But...
And, of course, my number one cocktail of them all. I'm going to go with a classic. I don't necessarily ever order this one, but people love this one, so I would put it in my top five. Women love it. My grandma, my mom loved it. Pina colada. I'm gonna put it in there because it is definitely a classic. It is.
I don't like it, but it is.
I don't like it, but you know, it's a classic cocktail. I don't really like. Yes, I'm from the Caribbean, but I don't really like the taste of coconut that much.
I don't either. That's why I like when I drink Malibu. It's got to be like.
It got to be Malibu pineapple.
Yeah, the other Malibu flavors.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we know each other's job pretty well.
I'm surprised you didn't throw a margarita in there.
No, I wasn't going to throw a margarita because
that is a...
I mean, technically, it's a cocktail, but...
But it's more popular than a pina colada is.
It is. But I just didn't throw it in there for the simple fact that there's too many different kinds of margaritas.
Just a simple, classic lime margarita.
Yeah. The simple lime classic margarita is the greatest margarita of them all. It's perfect.
It is hard to top that.
And my honorable mention, it got to go to my brother. My brother made me a vodka martini, which was interesting. And when I was working in La Porte, and we both got messed up. Like, he threw up all over his apartment. And I still had to drive back to Baytown.
Vodka martinis were fuck your world up if you ain't ready for them.
I don't know what goes in a vodka martini, but I had one.
It's essentially a chilled glass, vodka shaking like a motherfucker with some bitters, and either you're going to use the dry martini mix, the Rossi, or you can use, I forget what the other one's called, but it's essentially those, and then that assumes if you had a dirty martini or not. Because your dirty martini consists of olive juice and olives. Or if you just had it clear, regular, then you just had... You had the vodka shaken in ice. And then you had the Rossi. And you had a chilled glass.
Okay. So how about this? Instead of doing a five now, let's do a three. And we'll flip back into our... You do the cocktails. I do the songs. Three.
Three just random cocktails? Or just three...
Your three cocktails you do to get the party started.
Oh, shit. 100%. Three cocktails I do to get the party started. Anything blue. That's the first one. Anything blue.
Okay.
No, that is not the name of a cocktail. It is something about a party and the color blue. Women love drinks that are the color blue, green, purple, red, and orange. Any of those colors floating around a party makes them gravitate to the bar.
Do you think it's because most of them got sweeteners in it?
Nope, it's because it's pretty.
Yeah, there you go.
It's pretty and it looked good in pictures. Look at every single party. Go on Instagram and just look up parties. And you will see women with drinks of one of those five colors.
Facts.
That's why I said that. You can make them into all kind of different shit. Because normally, I'm going to peel back the curtain, as they like to say, in the world of the bartending. When I get a lady at the bar and she'll ask me, you know, or she'll say, you know, I want a drink, and I ask her what she wants to drink, and she's like, I don't know. I said, okay. I said, we can go about this two ways. You can tell me what your go-to liquor is, or you can just tell me a color. And if you tell me a color, then I'm gonna make you something in that color.
Simple.
Or if you tell me what you want as far as like, oh, I want a vodka-based drink, I want a, you know, tequila-based, whatever, then I'm gonna make you a drink like that, but I'm still gonna give you a pretty color. Most times they give me a color. When you give me a color, it's on and popping, because I'm going to make you something good. Second drink, because it's one of my go-to drinks, so I'm being a little biased here, is a whiskey sour.
Yes, sir!
When I go out, nowadays especially if I go to the country bar, I will drink a whiskey sour all night. And I'm very judgmental if the place or the establishment that I'm at does not have TX whiskey. Just going to be real. But I will still drink a whiskey sour with Makers, with Crown, with a few other things. But I prefer TX whiskey and my whiskey sours, but it's okay. Third, because everybody has that one person in their fucking group that drinks this drink and is always fucked up by the end of the night, and it's a Long Island iced tea.
Oh, I thought you was going to say the blue motherfucker, but yeah.
That's a shot. It ain't a drink.
Well,
you can make it as a drink, but it ain't the same.
You're right. Long Island iced tea is one of those, yeah.
There's always that guy that orders that $16 top shelf fucking Long Island iced tea because it's got all the fucking
What the fuck he doing.
Got all the name brand fucking liquors in it. I'm like, bro, I can make you one on the house with all the cheap shit and fuck you up. But you go ahead and order that $16 drink. I'm going to go ahead and order my little $10 whiskey sour and keep it pushing.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good list, by the way.
Appreciate you.
My three songs would be... You actually took one of my songs just to back that ass up. So that's a shout out to you.
When you hear that, you know, it's a rap.
My second song would be... This, you probably appreciate this one because we talked about it in one of the early episodes as probably the greatest number one hit ever, Return of the Mac.
Hey,
there's not a single person on planet Earth that will not jam to Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac, and This Is How We Do It.
And my number one.
I know my co-host far too well.
And my number one. Probably, Montel Jordan's not a one-hit wonder. So probably his number one hit, This Is How We Do It. Those are my three. That's the three I would take. Any day of the week, it doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter the race, nothing. Those three unless they're, you know, but in America,
do it.
Back that ass up, Return of the Mac, and This Is How We Do It. We'll turn any party up. I'm telling you. It will single-handedly save your party. Honorable mention, Poison.
If I throw an honorable mention in there, this one, and I only learned this because of where I used to work. When this song was played, it would always turn up the crowd that was like right around our parents' age and a little bit younger. And it's She's a Freak. No, just playing. She's a Brick House. Boom. Oh, she's
boom,
a brick.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. I don't know why that song makes people gravitate to the fucking dance floor, but it does.
But Rick James, because I give you another one by Rick James that'll make people gravitate is the Give It to Me.
Oh.
Yeah, Give It to Me. Give It to Me. Yeah. Rick James, Rick James just that dude, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that song was...
She's a very freaking girl. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a fire-ass song, though.
I can give you a whole...
He massacred it with the fucking trumpets in the background, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, that whole beat was just, like, so far ahead of its time.
Give it to me, baby.
I wonder how many songs sampled that, because there is so much going on in that particular song. Like,
surprisingly, the other day when I DJed, I played Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy, and people turned the fuck up.
Hey, that's a live ass song. She likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, boys, forget about Mr. Murphy, man.
Eddie had a whole CD that peaked on the Billboard, bro.
Eddie?
It was in the top 100 on the Billboard.
Adam Sandler got his inspiration from?
Oh, that's a good point.
Because he did the same thing?
Yeah. That's a good point.
And his shit was kind of live, too. Adam Sandler shit was live, too.
Freaking Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler was a comedic singer. Yeah.
So... Like we told you guys, man, this is an extremely bittersweet episode, but it was cool just to kind of reflect back. So in the spirit of Johnny on the Spot, as my co-host already did, I have a Johnny on the Spot for you. I would like your three most memorable moments of this show.
Oh, man. Okay. How about the GQ Real Talk bomb that shook the internet? That one shook the internet. You know what?
It did more than shake the internet. It spiked the fucking viewership.
Yeah, it kind of spiked viewership. While I'm talking, go ahead and pour. Let's get one final shot in for this. I'm gonna give you your GQ bomb that went ridiculous levels. And proportions. I will also say I'm gonna split this one with John L and Josh coming on live in studio. I thought that was pretty cool whenever John L, which was basically our top fan, came into the studio. I really and thoroughly enjoyed that. That was amazing. Shout out to my boy John L. And the number one, I will go with. Oh, I know what I'm going to go with. The number one, I'm going to go with our argument, UFC versus boxing, and we were drunk and didn't know what the fuck was going on. I would definitely take that. I would do that 100 times over and over again, dog.
That shit.
That Thanksgiving episode live on location at Pop's house.
Man, that shit was so stupid. Yeah, man.
Lots of good moments. You know what I'm saying? And even though we're leaving the traditional format the way we've been doing, I still look forward to making a lot of more memorable moments, and we're going to have a lot of more memorable moments. But I do think those three, John L's takeover when he came.
Yeah, no, that shit was fucking great.
Yeah, John L's takeover when he came, your epic bomb, and then, of course, the Thanksgiving episode where we argued UFC and boxing for like an hour and a half, and we were arguing two damn different things, definitely takes the cake. There's other memories that come up. And I'll give you an honorable mention. The top five songs that Wolverine broke Jean Grey back to. That's definitely a memorable moment. So
shit.
That's definitely a memorable. You might have forgotten about that until I said it, but that one was definitely memorable, man. So yeah.
Oh man,
that's my top three right there, man. Give me your top three, man. I want to hear what you got to say.
That shit was hysterical. Actually, one of my top three moments is when we did the I believe it was our top five MCs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think it was top five MCs. Yeah, that one was great because we had a similar. I think we had two that were the same.
Yeah,
and the rest were different. We both had LL Cool J in there. Like that shit was fucking.
And it would never change.
No, that shit was dope. Number two, which no particular order, but I'm naming it as number two in this particular case, was the very first crossover because it revolved around DC.
Yeah.
It revolved around the DC universe. It was about sidekicks.
Yep.
It's the very first crossover because it was a unique take on something that I don't think a lot of people have really done before.
Yeah.
I've never on any podcast, show, anything I've ever watched, heard something like the crossover before.
The crossover was really like our segment.
So
like, yeah.
In some way, shape, form, or fashion, I need you to bring the crossover to the live stream.
Somebody's going to try and copy it, too. I already know.
It's all right, but we are going to be the originators.
Yeah, we're the originators of that one.
Of that.
And you know, I got a story for the crossover. You might know the story because I think I probably told you. The crossover originated because I had watched... what is the name of that movie where all the main heroes get captured? Sky High. I had watched Sky High, and
that's an old movie.
Yeah, I watched Sky High.
Ain't that when the kids become the heroes or whatever?
Technically, yeah. So what happens in Sky High is that the teachers are kidnapped, and then the people that are named main heroes are kidnapped. And they leave all the sidekicks. And the sidekicks have to come and save all the heroes. And the Kobe and Shaq thing had been so huge at that point about Kobe being a sidekick is why I was like, yo, what if I came up with something where I cross comics or something into something else that we could talk about? And that's that very first crossover is how it came about. So the sidekick thing, your top five sidekicks, and your top five sidekicks in basketball. And which was no disrespect to Kobe, Scottie Pippen, or anybody else that I put on that list. It's a team, you know what I'm saying? So it was no disrespect. But a lot of people forget the person that helped you through and carried the star player. Because nobody can do it by themselves. even when people say Hakeem did it by himself, I'd be like, he had a great supporting cast, and Mad Max was his sidekick in the first one. Mad Max averaged like 21 points a game in the finals. So, anyway, back to your one. What's the last one you got?
It had to be the GQ bomb.
Yes, yes. Because I was hoping so.
I had to break character. To quote WWE in wrestling, I had to break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that because when we created the show, we did our best to keep personal life type of things like that out of it because there wasn't really a place for it. But when that moment happened, and those who've been following the show, you guys know the story. And for those who know me outside the show, you know the full story too. When that incident happened, it ate at me for like 3 days. And I let it go. I was like, eh, cool, whatever. But the more I slept on it and thought about it, I was like, this is some bullshit. And I started to kind of boil up a little bit. And I usually don't break character. It's not really my thing.
Never.
But then we got back into the studio and I was telling DJ Michael B about it. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And I let it go.
That was one of the most raw and authentic things.
Listen to me, folks.
Ever.
There was not a single bit of rehearsal for that. That was raw emotion. That is how I was feeling in that exact moment. And I let it all out.
You know what? One of the things that get lost in that episode too, on my side, is I was in a toxic relationship too. But you said that shit. That was literally our coming out party and be like, look, toxic women do destroy good men the same way toxic men destroy good women, bruh.
But that part got lost.
Yeah.
Because half of that group, I'm going to say it like that, half that group only heard the first part of what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hear the second part.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay. Because wait till we go live.
I absolutely, I love that moment. It was raw. It was unfiltered. It was filled with emotion. And it's probably like the most heat. I mean, it came out in season one.
And I was still relatively calm in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, you hear it, and if you don't know me, it sounds like I was losing my shit.
No.
No.
No. It was just something that needs to be said.
Yeah, because I was probably, truthfully, I was probably about a 3.
And you know what? We were still young as podcasters at that point.
Yeah, so we had no idea that was going to happen.
Everything was still pretty much thought out and scripted. I mean, what you said wasn't scripted, but you already had the idea, like, hey, I'm going to address this and this.
Yeah, I started, like, everything that I've done on this show, outside of a few things, I've literally read the topic, and I've gone off the dome.
Yeah.
It's just easier for me. Sometimes writing stuff down is easy. It's good, but I just, a lot of times I thrive off of, give me the topic and let me go.
Yeah.
And if you want a prime example of what that looks like, watch our last episode of From the Sidelines this past Friday.
Absolutely.
I did zero research. I read the outline and I went to town. Right before we pressed play to record is when the breaking news of the Bears and the Panthers trade happening.
Yeah.
The beginning of that show, the first 7 minutes, was completely freestyle. We didn't structure anything. It was the organization and how the show just went.
Yeah. I know you for sure know I didn't come really prepared. I mean, I got the rubric, but I was doing so much in Jamaica and come on the show and just absolutely have fun with some NFL like I do NBA. Because a lot of people, I mean, if you listen to the show, you know, but people outside of that, they think I'm just an NBA guy. And you would be surprised how deep I am in the football, too. Now, I'm not at your level. And that's, hey, I'm not at your level. But I'm, for somebody that's more of a majority NBA guy, I'm pretty damn deep in NFL too, because of fantasy and things. So yeah,
comes with the territory.
Yeah, I can't wait to go back on and do more collabs. And
there's nowhere to go but up for us from here.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this Gentleman's Talk Meets from the Sidelines collaboration that is going to be the future of what we do. So, like I said, for all of our listeners out there that have been keeping up with us from day one, when y'all catch this, I'm telling you, on YouTube, man, jump on it, man, at From the Sideline Podcast 5, man. That is where we will be live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Like, subscribe, get your notification game up, because when we go live, it will be announced, and I'm telling you, the content that you see, the conversations, yep, it is lit, it is dope, and we got a lot of changes coming down the pipe with From the Sidelines coming up.
And by the way, this is not the end of Gentleman's Talk.
No.
We are just collabing and just trying to elevate. This is not the end of Gentleman's Talk. This is not the end of the format with me and Mr. GQ here, man. It could never be an end to the dynamic duo, bro.
The biggest difference you're going to see is that we are going to take a step back from the sports portion.
Yeah.
We're going to do our part in the From the Sidelines family now. And Mondays and Fridays will be NBA and NFL talk. And Wednesday, we are going to focus more on the roundtables, the interviews.
Yeah.
The stuff that we originally, when we put this pod together, what we wanted to do, talking about men's mental health, talking about fatherhood, bringing in positive individuals that are doing great things, learning the ins and outs of certain industries from people who are already in these industries doing great things. This is what we wanted to do. So now you're going to see all that come into fruition. You saw us when we did interviews with guys like Ju Fresh and guys like Lundo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're going to see more of that now. And it's going to be slightly different, but it's going to be all the same. The content is going to be fresh. The questions are going to be great. There's going to be a couple of controversial episodes in there, too.
There will be.
Just letting you know,
There will be a couple of surprise guests, too, man.
I had some meetings this week, and oh, yeah, it's going to be some controversial stuff. And if you've already been listening to Gentlemen's Talk, it ain't nothing new for you.
No.
It's only going to be new for those who are new to the lounge.
Yes, sir.
So
the lounge is going nowhere.
No. So be prepared for that. Like I said, if you haven't already, by the time you listen to this, so Jonnell, I'm mostly talking to you because I know you specifically wait because you listen to the pod on Thursdays while you're at work.
Oh, he was pissed last week.
I mean, it's okay. Now, if you ain't got nothing going on Wednesdays, you can watch live and you can chime in, which is what we want you guys to do.
Facts.
While we are going live, man, drop your questions, your comments, your concerns. Drop it all in the chat on the YouTube because it's going to be there. We'll post it on the Facebook page tonight. This pod will be up. We'll still release an audio version of Gentleman's Talk. It'll be released on all major platforms. Just be prepared for some changes, but it's going to be worthwhile.
By the way, next week, Wednesday, we're going to have a special guest as the interview. Not going to tell you who that person is because I want your natural reaction.
All right.
So we're going to have a special guest. I want your natural reaction.
I gotta make sure everything is lined out because, you know, I got two track meets left.
Okay, well, we could do it Thursday, whatever day you're free.
Well, it all depends on the weather, too.
Oh, of course.
We got some fucked off weather coming up.
Yeah.
But if it's a situation where we can, yeah, we'll line that out.
Yeah, we'll line it out, and, yeah, we'll get it done.
For sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the last time on the audio pod classic version of Gentleman's Talk, I am the future Hall of Famer who your baby mama wish was the father of her children, Mr. GQ.
I couldn't hold it in that time. Hey, man, instead of making something funny and doing something crazy, I'm going to just end it like this for myself. Shout out to you, brother. It was a great ride with just us two, and we're going to move forward and do great things, and everybody's going to come with us, and I am your boy that make your grandma throw her hip out at parties. Hey. DJ Micah B, we are out.
When you see me in my zone, I'm locked in, not clocked in. I'm never boxed in. When you see me in my zone. We're so trapped in our minds. We won't initiate our lives, we'll just leave it on the shelf. Mm-hmm. But when you enter a zone, you reach a new level. Endless possibilities to be a new vessel. Can't change the game and remain the same. Don't work like that. The energy you put in this world is what you're getting back.